Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5. I want to share a little thought with you tonight and teach you something. You want to learn something tonight?
Yes.
Let's learn something, all right? And I think it'll be a help to you. If you don't need this tonight, you probably will by tomorrow. All right? But I'm going to entitle my message tonight, Prayer and Physical Healing. Prayer and physical healing. All right, now, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the matter of sickness.
Yes.
When you stop and think about all the little references here and there, Old Testament, New Testament, there are a lot of references to the matter of sickness. All right, so let's begin here in James chapter 5, and let's go back, let's start at verse 13. Verse 13, the Bible says, is any among you afflicted? All right, now don't raise your hand, but answer that question. All right, now raise your hand. See, we all got something, don't we? Yeah. All right, let's read on. He said, if you're afflicted, let him or her what?
Pray.
It doesn't say, if you're afflicted, get on Facebook and tell everybody in the county. All right? This does not say, if you're afflicted, then stay home from church and pout and feel sorry for yourself. Hello? No, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now watch. Is any sick among you? Can I just answer that? Yes. Yes. We sure are. Is any sick among you? Well, what option do you have? Well, you got doctors and you got medicine. All right, you got surgery. I mean, God has availed many things for us in this modern world in which we now live. But here's an option that a lot of folks don't take advantage of. Is any sick among you? Well, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Right.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and what?
Pray
one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Now let's keep our Bibles open here and let's pray, and then I want to show you some things tonight about prayer and physical healing. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the music tonight. It's prepared our hearts. Thank you for the baptism tonight. What a blessing. And Father, we ask now that you will bless as we open your precious word and look at its truths. And Father, I pray you'll guide my thoughts. Help me as I speak tonight. And I also pray that you will give us understanding of what we hear. And Father, we have so many things that you have provided for us that we have seemingly forgotten about in this day and age when there's so much available to our society with hospitals and the finest of instruments and all the different machines that can detect things and doctors who have spent half their lives studying and learning to know disease and how the body works and medicines and all therapies and everything else that goes with all of the infirmments that we might have. Father, we are so thankful that we still have the greatest opportunity in the world to just simply trust you and pray. And I ask you, Father, to help us to see this great truth tonight. Bless, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. With all of the show and all the sensationalism that has come from the charismatic movement over the last 100 years, especially during the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, we have just about let the devil rob us of a very wonderful aspect of prayer.
Amen.
And that is to pray for our sicknesses. Now, you know, I have had folks say, well, we're Baptists. Yes, we are. And we ought to believe the Bible more than anybody else.
Right.
All right. So you say, is this chapter supposed to be in the Bible? Yes, it is. Yes. Are we really supposed to pray if we're sick? Do we believe in anointing with oil and praying? Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, I got to tell you one illustration here just popped into my mind. Several years ago, when I first came here, I got invited to preach in a Sword of the Lord conference with Dr. Smith down in Ripley, West Virginia. Ripley, West Virginia, yes. And so there was a lady there and her husband who came up to me after the service, and they said, Pastor, we have been to the doctor, and the doctor has told us we cannot have a child. And I said, well, what's he know? And she looked at me, and she said, so say that again? I said, what does he know? And they both were stunned. And I said, the Bible tells us that children are an heritage from the Lord. And a big old smile came over her face, and she said, well, will you pray for us right now? And I said, I sure will. So I gathered them together, and I put my hand on one shoulder and other hand on the other shoulder, and I prayed and asked the Lord to bless and to strengthen the faith of this young couple and give them a child. Well, 9 months later, I was preaching in another church in Ripley. And this couple came up and she said, do you remember us? And I looked at her and I said, well, refresh my memory. I meet a lot of people. And so she told me who they were, which didn't really help. Because I don't know that they mentioned their name the first time that I met them. But anyway, she told me, you were at Pastor Bartlett's church in Sissonville. That's where it was, Sissonville. I knew Ripley didn't sound right. You were at Pastor Bartlett's church, and we came down for the service, and we asked you to pray because the doctor told us we couldn't have a baby. Now, mind you, she's standing there with a baby in her arms, and he's standing there with a baby in his arms. And she looked at me and said, "Will you promise never to pray for us again?"
Amen.
So anyway, that was such a blessing to my heart. I wish you'd have seen their faces. They were just like little school kids, excited about coming and razzing me because I prayed for them and they got twins instead of just one. But it was God's doing. There's no doubt about it. And now they have a whole flock. I mean, just a whole flock. When they found out that they could have a baby, they had several. And so praise the Lord for that. Now, this verse of Scripture, or these verses of Scripture here, lay down some foundational things about prayer and some things that we need to know concerning the matter of prayer and physical healing. You see, God has given to us believers a wonderful tool, and that tool is the promise to pray when we have physical needs, a physical illness or a sickness, to pray, and that when we do, God will hear and God will answer our prayer.
Amen.
You say, well, every single time? Yes, God answers every single time. Now, he doesn't always answer the way you and I want him to answer. All right? And so let me just give you a couple of thoughts here about this before we actually get to the verses. But first thing I want you to consider is this. In the matter of praying for sickness, this has to be mentioned because some folks get very angry or very disappointed when God does not do for them what he has done for others. All right? And I don't want you to get disgruntled or angry with God. But now here is an underlying truth that all of us, if we'll just stop for a moment and think about it, all of us know and understand. And that principle is, it is not, I say not with a capital not, all right? It is not always God's will to heal the sick. Sometimes God allows the sickness to take a person's life. But now, wait a minute. If you're a born-again believer and your life is taken by sickness, where do you go? So you got healed.
Amen.
All right? Yes, you received a healing right there. The minute that your eternal soul left your body and went into the presence of the Lord, you got healed right there. So while we may be hurting, and while the devil will then use that to make someone angry or make somebody bitter, don't let that happen to you. You see, if it were up to me, everybody would be healed. If it were up to you, everybody would be healed. But the simple truth of the matter is, my will or your will is not the main thing. It's what God's will is. And we know from practical experience that not everyone that is prayed for is healed here. All right? I wish it was, but it's just not the case. But I'm telling you, folks, We can testify of dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people in this room whom we have prayed for, and the Lord has put his hand on you.
Amen.
All right? Right, Deb? Right, John?
Amen.
I mean, we could just go down the rows, really, when you get to it. Right, Charlie? Amen. You see, God does some amazing things when we pray. And I told you all years ago when I came here that I want our church to be a praying church. And pray for folks, because everybody at one time or another is going to be facing sickness. When I faced sickness back in 2010, I asked you to pray for me, and you did. And now it has been 15 and a half years, and they still cannot find Crohn's disease in my body. And that's not something that you get cured from. There is no cure for Crohn's disease. But yet, God cured me.
Amen.
Why? Well, because you prayed. Because you prayed. It's just prayer works, folks. So, but God does not always, it's not always God's will to heal the sick. May I remind you that the Apostle Paul spoke about one of his dear friends, a fellow by the name of Trophimus, and Trophimus was sick, and Paul said, we had to leave him behind in Miletus. Why? Because he was sick. He couldn't travel. So they left him in Miletus to heal up. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think that the Apostle Paul prayed for his dear friend Trophimus?
Yeah.
But it was not God's will for Trophimus to be healed. All right? And you can read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 20. All right? In Philippians 2, let's just look up a couple of these so you won't think I'm making all this stuff up. All right, look at Philippians 2, please. All right, just a couple of chapters back. Philippians 2. And let me read to you, starting in verse 25. Verse 25, it says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been what?
Sick.
All right, so here is Epaphroditus, one of Paul's good friends, traveling companion, but he was sick, and he had heard that the folks at Philippi were praying for him and for his healing, and he wanted to go and thank them personally. All right, but look at verse 27. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because, watch this now, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. for the work of Christ, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. But you see, the man was sick, and he was sick for a reason. Paul mentioned that he was sick. Turn now to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and look for a moment, please, at chapter 12. Chapter 12. We're all familiar with this. This is Paul telling the Corinthian church about his thorn in the flesh. All right, so in verse 1, here's what he says. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, this man that he knew is himself. All right? He says in the first part of verse 1 that he didn't want to glory. He didn't want to shine the light upon himself. And so he says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, parentheses, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. So Paul says, this happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if I was in the body. I don't know if I was dead. I don't know what, I just don't know what happened. But he said, I knew a man, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, Paul said that that he was caught up, all right, caught up. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, think about it, folks. Paul said that he was caught up into heaven. Now, my personal feeling is that he was caught up into heaven when he was stoned to death in Derby. All right? And that you remember, they left him for dead. All right? So I think he died right there. And then his soul went to heaven. And he's up there walking around with no pain, with no big pump knots on his head where he got hit with a rock, all right? And so he's confused. Am I in the flesh or am I in the spirit? I don't know. God knows. I remember Lester Roloff saying one time that that Paul got up there and he didn't see anybody that needed to be saved. And so he said, Lord, if it's all right with you, can I just go back down? And the Lord said, well, Paul, yeah, I guess I can keep using you a little longer. So he sent him back. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how it happened. And I don't know that Brother Lester had any insight on the matter. It wasn't in the Greek or anything, I don't think. But anyway, that's what I think happened. Paul died in that stoning and was left for dead. All right, so notice it says that he didn't want to glory in all that. So what the Lord did was he sent him a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Now that's not buffet. All right, that's buffet. Okay, get that. But the messenger of Satan to buffet him, to humble him, if you will. Okay? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Hey, folks, listen. Being a human being, if you had the visions and the revelations and you had the Christophanies and you had the times where Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, if you had that, you might be a little puffed up yourself, you know? I mean, we might not be able to stand you, okay? But anyway, Paul said, this is what happened. And the Lord sent me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, what was his thorn? Well, we don't know. Josephus, the historian, said that he saw the Apostle Paul, that he saw him in the flesh, and said that he was up in years and that he was all bent over like this. He could not straighten up, probably from a broken back where he got stoned to death. I don't know. But he could not stand up. Now, was that his thorn? I don't know. In Galatians, you'll remember, the Bible says, he said to the church, see how large a letter I have written unto you. And that has made a lot of folks think that Paul's buffet was his thorn in the flesh, was simply bad eyesight. Now, that hasn't ever plagued anybody in here, has it? Huh? You see, I don't know if I've told you all this. I probably shouldn't tell you, but I have macular degeneration just like my dad. There is coming a day, unless they invent something. But there's coming a day when I'm going to have to be led by the hand. I hope it's a long ways off, but still, that's my future. You see, we all have infirmities.
Right.
We all have them. And Paul prayed. Now look at this. All right. It says here, he said, lest I be exalted. Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord, how many times?
Thrice.
Three times. That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, no. Now, folks, look here. No is an answer. All right? No is an answer to prayer. Now, I know we don't like that answer, but nonetheless, that's an answer. And so when you get to heaven, and you might want to just take a few moments and say, Lord, why? And he'll tell you why. Of course, you're going to know even as you're known when you get there, so you won't have to ask. But there are reasons for everything that God does. What did God say? No, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. Your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, he said, I will gladly bear this infirmity and have God's power on my ministry. If losing the infirmity is going to lose the power, I don't want to lose it, Lord. I don't want to give it up. No, sir. All right, so he prayed three times. You say, well, why didn't he pray four times? Well, 3, you remember, is the number of completion. And after all, when Paul prayed and he didn't get an answer, and then he prayed again and he didn't get an answer, and then he prayed again and he didn't get an answer, well, I figured he must have come to the conclusion that there is no answer. God's not going to give you an answer. So he just says, his grace is sufficient. Paul said, good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Wonder if we would have felt that way. I wonder. So, point is, folks, sometimes it is just not God's will for you to be healed of a physical infirmity. You know, on another note, I believe that there are some Christians who have a ministry of suffering. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean by that, that God allows them to suffer physically, and that enables them to hang on to God and stay close to God and walk with God and have power with God that they would not have had they not had the infirmity. Does that make sense to you? And you know, I've known some folks like that. I have known some folks like that. We had a lady in our church down in West Virginia. Her name was Pearl Carpenter. And Pearl was 84 years old when I became the pastor of the church in 1980. And she came to me. She had been teaching Sunday school for a long, long time. And she came to me and she said, Pastor, I'm 84 years old. I think I want to give up my Sunday school class and let somebody else take the class. And I looked at her and I said, well, Pearl, why? She said, well, you know, I'm getting old. And I said, in whose eyes? Getting old in whose eyes? Well, mine. I said, well, you're not old in our eyes. I said, those kids don't want you to quit. She looked at me and she said, but Pastor, I think it's just time. I said, well, I don't, but that's between you and God. So I said, here's what you do. Pearl, I said, you take 2 weeks and pray about this. Will you promise me you'll pray about this? She said, yes, I will. And I said, well, let's just pray right now. And so I prayed and tried my best to just guilt the daylights out of her. No, I'm kidding. A little bit. And so 2 weeks later, here she came in. She said, Pastor, it's been 2 weeks. I said, yeah, and God told you you couldn't resign, didn't he? And she said, yes, thanks a lot. But she taught until she died. She taught until she died. And I tell you, Pearl, later in life, had a lot of issues, but she stuck with it. All right? So, number one, I said that it is not always God's will to heal the sick. All right? Number two, a second matter taught in the scripture is sometimes God uses medicine with which to heal. Sometimes. And all of us are thankful for doctors and for medicine and for remedies. We're all thankful for that. My grandfather had a remedy for everything. Yeah, he had a root for everything. Where you going? And he'd say, I'm going to go back on that ridge and dig some. And he'd tell you what kind of root he was going to go dig. He knew exactly where all of them were. And he'd get his little pick, little tiny, like a hammer, but a pick on the end of it. And he said, I'll be back. And so he'd take off and climb that mountain. And here he'd come back with a bag, burlap bag full of roots. And boy, no matter what you say, I have a headache. Well, sit down there and I'll fix that for you. And he did. Now, sometimes he got you plastered, but, you know. But he fixed them. Yeah, I mean, really. But he fixed you up. I got to the place where I would say, I'm good. Because I knew I was going to have to go home and explain to Mom, what do you give you? You don't want to know. But we're all thankful for all that stuff. But listen, it's in the Bible that people used medicine. You know, you remember Paul wrote to Timothy and told him to drink a little grape juice for his stomach. For his stomach. He had, I don't know, did he have heartburn? I don't know. But Paul told him, drink a little wine, which doesn't mean alcohol. It means grape juice. And many times in the New Testament, God records for us that Luke was a traveling companion for the Apostle Paul. And all the way through the book of Acts, the Bible calls Luke Paul's beloved physician. All right? So, God uses sometimes doctors and remedies and medicine in order to heal us. Thirdly, there is a privilege that is available to the saints of God. And that privilege is praying for the sick. Now, James said, is there any sick among you? Pray. Well, what a ministry we can have by trusting the Lord to answer prayer as we pray for the sick. Now, on four different occasions that I can remember, in the church that I pastored in Dixie, West Virginia, on four different occasions, people called and they said, Pastor, this is so-and-so. I said, yeah, how you doing? Good. My neighbor is in the hospital, and he wanted to know if you would, his family wanted to know if you would go down and pray for him. And we have this all the time, don't we, Pastor Holbrook? We have this all the time. Folks will call and they will say, so-and-so, you don't know them, but so-and-so is over at the hospital, and we would like for you or one of your staff to go visit them. Oh, yeah? Well, where do they go to church? Well, and they tell us where they go to church or where they think they go to church. And then I'll say something like this. Well, hasn't their pastor gone to see them? And, he has. But the family wants one of us to go at Church of the Open Door. And I quote, because we specialize in that kind of thing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, if I'm lying, strike me right now. I'm not lying. This happens. You've heard it. I've heard it. I'm telling you, folks, prayer works.
Amen.
The problem is we don't pray.
Right.
See, that's the problem. It's not that prayer doesn't work. All right, one more thing real quickly here. I want you to understand this truth. Understand this, folks. Realize that Satan is the author of sickness.
Right.
Now, we need to understand that truth. The devil, Satan, Lucifer is the author of sickness. Go back into the Old Testament to the book of Job, chapter 2. Let me show you what the Bible says here, all right? Let's see what the Bible says. Satan is the author of sickness. All right, chapter 2, please. And look at verse 4. Yeah, I probably need to go up and get the context, don't I? Verse 1 says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. You say, explain that. Can't. I wasn't there. John, you were there, weren't you? So ask John after the service. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. All right, now the New Testament adds, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? I'll guarantee you he had. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst, too many consonants there, although thou movedst me against him, to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered, Lord, and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. So the devil said, Lord, you take your hand off of Job and let me at him, and he'll curse you. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, verse 6, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Don't kill him. You see that? Hey, I didn't write it. Don't look at me like that. Don't kill him. That's what he says. Wow. Verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and what? Who smote? Satan smote. Who'd he smite? Job. Yes. It wasn't God that smote Job. It was the devil who smote Job. All right? How did he smite him? With sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the top of his head, his crown. Wow. So it was Satan who afflicted Job. Go back to 2 Corinthians 12 for just a moment where I had you before. And let's look at verse 7 once again. All right, verse 7. Paul said, and lest I should be exalted, it's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. So it was the devil who afflicted Paul. See? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Go back one book. Just thought of this one. Go back one book to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. All right. In verse 1, he said, it is reported commonly. So it means, you know, everybody and his dog knows. All right. Everybody knows this, that there is fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the heathen, among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, or he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body and but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto who? Why? For the destruction of his flesh. Now, God didn't say he was going to destroy that boy's flesh if he didn't get right with him. No, he said, turn him over to the devil and let the devil just beat the tar out of him. Let the devil have him. Now, I don't know what happened here. You've heard me say I got questions. That's one. What happened to that boy? I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. I'm going to ask, what happened? Did he repent? Did he get his heart right? What happened? Well, you know, God said, for the destruction of the flesh. Now, this is going to throw some of you. Read the rest of it. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, that means that the boy was saved, and no matter what sin you commit, you're still saved.
Amen.
That's what that means. All right, sit still. All right, so, you know what we learned from that, folks? The devil is nothing more than a yes man. He can only do what God allows him to do.
Right.
And understand that if the devil could kill you, he would.
That's right.
And you need to be thankful that God won't let him. I mean, the devil hates you. He hates me. He hates us. All right? All kinds of heart issues right there. And y'all pray for him.
Amen.
Who's after him? The devil's after him right here. Eye problems. Having lots of difficulty with vision. Who's after him? The devil's after him.
Right.
Our young'un. Oh, are you?
6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks. All right, well, let's start with this one over here. Where do we start? I mean, now, I'm going to let that go. I got to live with him, all right? But you know the point. So let's go to the 6 week older. Big deal. He was in the hospital over the weekend. Why? Chest pains. Now, here's the good news. They didn't find anything wrong with him. Huh? You glad that's him? Yeah, it's usually you. Yeah. Why? Because the devil doesn't like him, doesn't like me. You see, it's constant. It's constant. It never stops. Now, as I said a moment ago, God sometimes permits us to be sick. And It is the nature of sin to destroy and to kill. But just stop and think about it for a moment, folks. Do you know anybody who has no physical infirmities? Do you know anybody? I don't. Oh, you might have a 12-year-old boy. I don't have any fit. You will. You will. If the Lord tarries, you will. It's coming. It's coming. Karen and I bought a new bed, and so we had to take down the old bed, which was one of those Sleep Number beds, and that's like taking a jigsaw puzzle apart. And so we then had to haul the old one, or the old bed, into another bedroom, put it up, and then we had to take the bed that belonged to Leanne and Levi, take it down so they could have it back. And we're all both, you know, those little Allen wrenches. Oh my, just shoot me. I mean, good night. Mercy. I was ready to go throw a hammock in the elm tree out back and just sleep outside for the rest of my life. Give it up. Quit. But anyway, I woke up this morning. I couldn't walk. My back hurts. My legs hurt. My knees hurt. My shoulders hurt. Yeah, we're all infirmed, aren't we? You say, well, I can't believe it. Well, you go crawl around on your hands and knees and see how you feel the next morning. Especially if you don't ever crawl around on your hands and knees. All right? So, folks, listen. God may allow the devil to afflict you, but God, who allows it, most of the time uses it so that we will be more dependent upon Him. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. But when we gather here for church and somebody says, I want y'all to pray for me. I just was diagnosed with cancer. First invitation that's given, that person normally comes to the altar. I don't blame you. I would too. So I don't want anybody to know I'm sick. I would want everybody to know I'm sick. Because I want all of you praying for my sickness.
Amen.
All right? Well, I'm going to stop right there. I'm not done by any means. But I'm going to stop right there. Let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. You say, well, Pastor, I have prayed and God hasn't. Has he told you no? And if he hasn't told you no, by all means, you keep praying. Whatever you do, don't you stop.
Amen.
But you enlist as many people to pray with you and for you as you can. And then you realize that there we have a God who bids us to pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. If we would just read the word, we would realize the answers are there. No matter what the question is, the Bible has the answer. And so, Father, thank you for what you have included in your word to help us understand sickness. If there's one thing that all of us have in common, it's illness. It's illness. So, Father, help us to get a better understanding of what the devil's up to and a little better understanding of what you've promised us. And there's so much more that we didn't get to tonight. And so, Father, give us encouragement. We love you. We thank you for loving us. You've been so good. And I pray that we'll just keep our eyes on you regardless. Not get weary in well-doing, but just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So bless in Christ's name. Amen.